Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends.
Worms. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay Sachet, 10 miles below sea level at Inner Earth Core Studios. We uncalcify your pineal gland by aligning your chakras with rejuvenative radio crystals. This heats your fiend bone to a delectable and daring 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a Death Star of Doom porn out of your system. Can you feel the vibes? Is it working, Jim Bab? Is it working, Michael?
Ooh, I like it.
Yes.
That was a tasty, tasty intro. I like the new intros. Although that one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if I can give some creative criticism, I think that one suffered from the same thing that a lot of Davies suffered from, and mine suffered from at first, which was, it's perfect, except the brain part was mispronounced, I think. Is it possible?
The brain part?
Yeah, I think it's pineal gland. What did you say?
I said pineal gland.
You said pineal. You said
That's something else.
I thought I said pineal gland.
You said pineapple gland, I think.
it definitely didn't say pineal gland.
Well, I said
pineal
gland. Penile gland is totally different. Please don't get those mixed up.
I only know how to say locus coeruleus because I heard it pronounced correctly on that show that has a lot of deep science and is well researched. What's it called? Not Third Rock from the Sun. The
other Aliens?
One. No.
Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura.
Nope, that's close. Keep going. Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Blossom pronounced it correctly, so I knew how to say it. Yeah.
Nice.
I want to be Blossom.
Oh, and Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT, no government license, by the way.
Yeah. But you know what's not covered by a BIPCOT, no government license, but should be, is Namecoin. And Namecoin died today. I am here to praise Namecoin, but to bury it. I used to be a huge fan of Namecoin. Here's the thing. So Namecoin was this... It was actually the first altcoin. Like, there was a time when there was Bitcoin, and then there was Bitcoin and Namecoin, and those are the only two altcoins. A lot of people don't know that. It was the second one. It's a decentralized cryptocurrency that was not really invented to be used as a currency. It was invented to be used as a decentralized DNS to, like, basically have the ability to have web addresses that are not dependent on governments. You know, like fiendphone.bit. And and then they would resolve over the blockchain or over resolvers working off the blockchain. It's a brilliant idea. Never really did what it was supposed to do, though. Had a lot of people squatting domain names, and like it existed for 3 years before there was a way for most people to actually like use it. But this guy I knew named Jeremy invented this thing called Free Speech Me, which was a resolver for Windows and Linux for .bit addresses. And I actually named that thing and then helped him promote it and then built the website for it and wrote the all the tutorials and did an Indiegogo and raised about $2,000, and I was supposed to get like 10% of whatever we raised. And he was, I don't want to swear on the radio, he made me fight to get what I was contractually owed, and then to like, and then he took my name off the website because Derek Slopey and I, Derek came up with something better, which I named and called MeowBit, which was a resolver that worked better for .bit. And so like the Namecoin people never acknowledged what we did, what Derek and I did. Like there's no mention of MeowBit on like how to use Namecoin on the Namecoin site. Like they just were like, you're not one of us. Seriously. Like, you know, and on our site we put like, and if you're using Linux, use their version, their thing. So we were equitable. They were not. And this guy like wrested the, you know, like got took my name off the website. Uncredited me for all the work I did. And that was a year ago. I went to look at the website today. It's gone. Like, he forgot to pay. I'm just filled with schadenfreude. Like, basically, the last hope for Namecoin died today because he didn't renew it. It's gone. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, if you do a project with me, I'm going to at least keep the domains registered. I want to at least pay them, keep them up. So there.
So is .bit still a domain? Is that still out there?
.bits still work. What I'm saying, no, I'm saying the website, the .com, .net, .org websites that he registered for his software no longer work. I mean, the .bit one probably still works, but it's like, how can you even get to that if you can't get to the other one first, you know?
Well, what am I going to do with all my name coin now, Michael? Do I
sell it for 7 cents?
I think I'll just put it in my drawer with my drachmas and my Deutschmarks and just wait for that to come around again, I guess.
It's not going to come around again.
It's not going to make a comeback.
The drachmas will more likely make a comeback than name coin. That's my final word on this. Ouch.
I wish Dogecoin would make a comeback.
It was cute, huh?
That was so cute. It was the cutest.
I will sell my Tatiana coin for Dogecoin.
Well, Namecoin were $7 a year ago. Year and 3 months ago when I got involved with Namecoin, and now they're 70 cents. So I drove them down from $7 to 70 cents.
Your big pump and dump operation
for a while.
What'd you say, MK?
It's like I did all right on Litecoin for a while, but then I just kind of stopped paying attention, and it just all went right back down.
I actually tripled my investment with Litecoin and got it. It was Stephanie Murphy mined some and sold it to me. I bought $100 worth, 10 coins for $100, and then it went up to. No, was it $10 each? I forget what it was, but it literally, like, it went up three times as much in 3 weeks, and then I sold it. And then it went up to four times as much, and then it was never as high again, and it went down.
Yeah, and then it went back down. Yeah. I didn't catch that. I'm not good at this stuff. So
for people listening,
that's pretty much happened with every investment I've ever had.
For people listening on the radio, which one of you can give the most non-tech savvy definition of what a cryptocurrency is?
Well, we'll have to go with Megan on that one.
So a cryptocurrency is an alternative form of currency in digital form that you send over a network that is basically a bunch of decentralized computers. So it's a payment system and a currency.
That's good.
And Bitcoin is the most well-known, but there are a bunch of other ones, and they have different ways for how they're kind of created. Right?
Tatiana coin is backed by hair.
Well, that's something, at least.
Hair. Yes, long, beautiful, soft hair. Although, what is it? Federal Reserve notes are backed by bombs and jet.
And old dead dudes.
And that's what's on them. They're backed by war, basically. And debt,
right?
But isn't that still better than the euro, dollars, which isn't even backed by that?
I know.
Like they don't.
It's backed by cooperation.
I've heard that the difference between the Federal Reserve note and the euro is that the Federal Reserve note is a piece of paper that says the United States federal government owes you nothing. The euro is a note that says nobody owes you nothing.
Yeah.
I think that's the key difference there.
Euros don't even usually have people on them. They usually have pictures of animals or buildings because they couldn't agree which dead dudes to put on them.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, so some people are kind of talking about, we need to have a woman on the, you know, currency. There were women on the currency before they put the presidents on there. That they had Liberty, which was personified as a woman on our currency, way before they started putting dead presidents on it.
And then there was the
so and like I don't think I don't know I don't know if that's a good thing. Like I don't want a woman on like a one of those
dying
bills. I mean, like that's like not a good
bills.
Thing
yeah.
to
no.
me. You know,
especially not like
why
a,
why malign
not a
the
cool
name
chick.
Like that? I don't want a cool chick on there. Like. You know, with all his other, you know, warmongers.
Well, there was also the, in our lifetime, there was also the ill-fated Sacagawea dollar. Remember that? Which was it was a dollar coin, almost the exact size as a quarter. So nobody wanted them because they were like, everyone's, you know, it was easy to mistake them for quarters and accidentally spend them. So nobody, Like, I remember taking them to stores and stores refusing to take them. And stores would also, oh, you know where you'd get them? You'd get them as change in the machines at the post office. Like, they were like, ha ha.
Exactly.
We have you trapped. We have you trapped. Right. Have some Sacagawea, sucker. Sacagawea.
And people think they have gold in them because they're like golden colored. Yeah. A lot they of people like think yellow they have color. Gold in them. But they're
it's
not.
Like grass or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like, no, they're only worth a dollar. Sorry.
No. All no of the, gold. They're just trying to, like, all the stuff they're doing lately, like, oh, take the old dead white slave mongers off the bills and put some hip colored women on the bills. No, that's just rearranging the deck chairs, like, on the Titanic, man. They're just trying to get your attention off of. I don't care who the. I don't care if they put like 20 naked man hating lesbians on the money. If it was backed by anything, I'd be into that.
Like, how insulting would it be to put Harriet Tubman on our money? I mean, this is a woman who freed thousands of people and was, like, just a super awesome person. And, like, don't, like, you know, denigrate anything she's done by putting her on this terrible fiat currency. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be somebody like, I'm not saying I want to see Hillary's face every time I open my wallet. Okay.
Bernie Sanders.
But Bernie Sanders could be the new Bernie woman Sanders. On the money.
Yeah, yeah. Him and Hillary drag. How's that?
Oh,
there's a meme just going around.
Feel the burn.
I really like it. It's, you know, that, like, people are actually taking him seriously as a possible candidate for president. It's like, you know, people are economically retarded when they're considering putting an actual socialist into office while an actual socialist country is collapsing.
yeah well, no, like, I you know, Bernie Sanders fascinates me because he's honest about being a socialist, and it's I mean Vermont. I kind of like that he's totally like, yeah, we only need one type of deodorant, so, like, I mean, he's not, like, you know, beating around the bush
state
about
stick.
It he's just
it
like yeah I want full socialism now.
I want someone to make a meme of that. I want the deodorant as a meme. I want someone to make state stick.
State stick.
Oh.
But yeah,
what about Donald Trump? Isn't Donald Trump running too? Like, he's pretty funny.
Dude, he's like leading in some of the polls.
And that's just because of his hair.
The polls of people from whatever town Cantwell's from. In Long Island. Seriously.
Oh, cousin.
Oh, sorry. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
We're back on.
Wow!
Freedom Fiends, the radio show that's composed of people who are too busy talking to do talk radio. So,
Worms.
What did the commies do to you today, Jim? Jim Babb?
What did the communists do to me today?
Or to somebody? Yeah.
Nobody did anything to me today. I'm in beautiful Fiendville Junction, Maine, where everything is peaceful and mellow.
So you're really not gonna grab that, like, I just set you up to tell that great story you told during the break? Or is it just like stuff that happens during the break on the Fiends? Just, oh, we can't repeat that. You told a great story
about
communists and 911. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
I will drag you people kicking and screaming into being talk radio show hosts. All right. Go. Hey, Jim, I'm throwing by crook. This is called throwing. I'm throwing to you. Hey, Jim, what were you telling me during the break about the communists? What did the communists do to you today, Jim? Take it, Jim. I threw you.
Well, in Wallingford, Connecticut, there was a flea market, and somebody was selling some Confederate and Nazi merchandise. So somebody got scared and called 911
because it's an emergency
to report this. They were very scared.
They were triggered. Their feels were disrupted.
Yeah.
And, you know, it should be a safe space, like flea markets. You should be able to go in there and not see anything that's going to rustle your jimmies
trigger
too
warnings.
Much.
Yeah.
Trigger warnings on these flea markets. No, no need for the cops to get involved. It's just like a well-placed sign.
Yeah, yeah. Contains historical, you know, items from possibly bad guys from the past. Okay.
See, I don't know what bugs me worse, like that someone's willing to call the cops and like bring dudes with guns in on this, or that they're too cowardly to just go up to someone and be like, "Hey, that's not cool."
Or that if they're going to call authorities and have to bring authorities into it, that they really think 911 is the number to call.
Well, right, that too.
Isn't there like a non-emergency?
Maybe like NAACP or something.
Yeah,
or...
Well, is there, for like the Nazis, things. If you're going to report, if you're going to like call somebody about Nazis, shouldn't you like, I don't know, call like Winston Churchill's number, or is there like an old like Allied Forces Command headquarters that you could call to report Nazi activity in your area?
You know, there's a, speaking of
there was KKK activity in our area, so my area. A few months ago, there were a bunch of recruitment flyers found for a KKK group in Alabama. And it's interesting because we were talking about this on the break, too. Like, why aren't they up, you know, to date with technology? Like, why don't they have like a meetup group or something? Like, why are they still like, you know, pinning up flyers and stuff? I mean, what
they probably do have meetup groups.
Do they do sine waves or something, too?
Well,
like,
when you think about it, really, why do we need to explain what a cryptocurrency is? I mean, I feel like we should on radio because I want to spread the word of it. And, you know, there's probably people listening on radio who don't know what it is. But I kind of feel at this point it's kind of like saying, hey, MK, go ahead and tell people what the internet is before we talk about this story about the internet. You know, I mean, really? Hmm. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. We're getting closer.
I still think most people don't know what a cryptocurrency is, however.
All right.
I think it's safe to, to remind them that.
They think it's something dangerous and bad.
It kind of is really cool sounding. Like, it's got a real like bad sounding name. Like, well, I know some people who don't use cryptocurrency. Like, they use digital currency instead
because
crypto has this, like, nefarious kind of connotation.
That is the most ridiculous. I know people like that, too. Actually, some of the Namecoin people were pushing for that. And I was like, you little trigger warning biatches. Pardon my French. It's like, I mean, seriously, like, you really think, I mean, it uses cryptography. You really think that you want to make it sound like something else because you're afraid that people whose, like, idea of technology is based on James Bond movies from the 60s are going to be afraid of cryptocurrency?
I like the audio aesthetics. I'm fine with that.
Why are those people being afraid of what, MK?
Well, I like the audio aesthetics of cryptocurrency. It's got a nice alliteration in there. It does sound kind of new and different. Like digital currency, I mean, it makes me think of like Apple Pay or PayPal or something like that. But cryptocurrency is its own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, no need to get salacious here, James Babb.
I think crypto's good, but you know, the word crypto itself, it one meaning might be like, oh, undecipherable. You can't understand it. It's too confusing. It's crypto. Oh, you know,
it is
cryptocurrency.
So, yep. Cryptic. It's cryptic currency.
Oh, when we get back to this trip to the market, we're gonna talk about fun experiences we've had with music. I do want to say, though, Barack Obama is a liar, he is a socialist, and his feet stink.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
For some reason, in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Love that bass line.
Yes,
love that, love that bass line. I used to play bass. We used to play, you used to play music too, right?
I still play music some. It seems like there is a common thread amongst all of Michael Dean's weird friends, that yeah, there's this underlying like musicality out there. I don't know, do all yeah, the fiends play music?
I know a lot of us do. I know you did, I did, Michael did, Davi did. Did Chandler?
Yes.
I feel like Derek J can sing, right? Like Derek J's, I've seen him do karaoke before. He can sing really well.
He's just
well,
a born performer.
He's super Randy, talented and everything.
Randy's a musician.
Is Ben a musician too?
I assume so.
Like he was a musician.
Wasn't he in ZZ Top? I think he used to be in ZZ Top. Pretty sure.
He was like, he was one of the original.
Yeah.
Before
that. Yeah. But I kind of have a theory about why, like when Michael asked me to do The Fiends, I don't think he knew I had a musical background, right?
Yeah, he didn't know I did either, I don't think.
But this is my theory, is that The Fiends bring the rock. You know, it's sort of a philosophy, or sort of just kind of a way of living your life, where, you know, it's like, you know, it's like a standing ovation. If you don't get a standing ovation, then you failed, right? It's like, you know, it's the baseline of success is going to be a little bit higher because you're used to rocking the crowd. You know what feels like to rock the house, and you bring that power, you know, and I think you bring that, and Michael brings that, and so many of the fiends bring that sensibility. It's more of a sensibility, I think, than a philosophy. It's just like, you're going to show up, you're going to rock it, you know, we're here to rock.
Yeah, we're kind of like the punk rock Liberty Show, you know, in some ways, and I really like that, just content-wise, and all of our hosts, and all of the kind of eclectic views. So what kind of music did you kind of, what kind of music did you grow up on, and how did that influence you as a musician? What type of music did you end up playing?
You know, I was a teenager in the 80s, you know, so it was, the music was, you know, it was like U2 and Journey and Rolling Stones were still pretty popular, stuff like that, you know, classic rock. But, you know, then it was like the Cars and weird stuff like that was, you know, was creeping in there. The Police, stuff like that.
Worst band name ever, by the way.
The Police.
Why would you do that? Like, and then have like and then make the creepiest song ever.
Huh. Oh, about like getting in his car and stuff. Was that the one you're thinking of?
Every Breath You Take.
Oh yeah, I'll be watching you.
I'll be watching you.
Yeah, what is up with that?
It's
Sting,
like the real Police.
And his name is Sting.
Whoa. Oh God. Too much. Too many triggers in that whole band.
Yeah. Sorry.
You put them away. Far away.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Sting. We're not going to be able to listen to your old band anymore. Come out with something new with some better imagery.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So what instruments did you play?
You know, I grew up playing percussion in like marching band and stuff like that, and drum set, and but it wasn't until like after college I started playing music, doing gigs, I got into different kinds of percussion, like timbales and Arabic percussion and Brazilian percussion, and then the gigs got a lot more interesting from there. So
yeah,
so that's the kind of stuff that I'm into. Crazy jazz or hip hop with like Afro-Cuban beats, or, you know, just cultural mishmashes, so to speak. What about you?
Yeah, so my dad was a musician, and he still is, but he doesn't play as much, but he was a drummer, and so I grew up listening to a lot of blues and classic rock and other kind of weird stuff, too, some jazz, so I had a really good appreciation for that type of music, and I did listen to a lot, you know, some of the 90s pop stuff. I grew up in the 90s, so, you know, I did listen to some of that too. I like a pretty wide variety of music, but probably what influenced my taste the most was when I discovered Frank Zappa, and I listened to him just kind of obsessively for a while. So I like really weird stuff, stuff that's just kind of
nice.
Really out there, and you know, I like a lot of jazz and still blues and a pretty, you know, wide variety of music. And so I was exposed to a lot of instruments too, you know, drums, piano, guitar, bass. And I tried a little bit of everything. I played clarinet for 3 years in middle school. I tried to learn guitar. I wasn't super great at it. I found bass a little bit easier to play. So I ended up being in a band for a short amount of time. And we played kind of like weird grunge psychedelic stuff. It was really weird, like instrumental cool stuff, and it was really fun. And then I just kind of, you know, I got interested in other things. I got more involved in theater and stuff like that. But I still love music. I love being around it, and I love jams and going to shows. And it's always been such a huge part of my life. And yeah, I think it has kind of helped me, you know, bring the rock or, you know, whatever it is to the Fiends. And you know, it's a great thing. And I really, if I do ever have a family, I don't really have any plans right now, but I would want them to grow up around music too, because I think it's really fulfilling on an emotional level. And it can really make you think too, like some of that jazz stuff, like some of the really complex, you know, using different time signatures and stuff like that. Like, it can be very challenging for the mind.
Oh, sure.
And I kind of like that. It's very, you know, mentally stimulating.
And I got to travel a lot with music, which was awesome. I got to go all over Europe. I got to do, you know, go to places I would never have gone to if I was just waiting for me to, you know, go on a vacation or something. And there's no better way to travel when you're doing gigs in a like a festival in another country. It's like they have welcome parties for you and pick you up at the airport. And, you know, it's like playing music and having fun and getting paid. It's like there's nothing better.
Yeah, I stayed in the kind of music scene, even though I stopped playing music, and I ended up doing merchandise for one of my favorite bands at the time. It was kind of like a small regional band, and I would go around with them to festivals, and that was just such a fun experience. I was already going to festivals anyway, and that's where I discovered hula hooping, actually, but that was just such a fun experience, so.
Have you ever thought about going on the road with your hula hooping as a full-time career?
I have thought about it. I was actually heading in that direction for a while a couple years ago when I was going to more festivals, and I have several friends who do that, who get paid to perform at festivals, and they're insanely good. I took a little bit of a break from hooping, and I kind of a little bit regret it, you know, because I think if I would have stuck with it, I would be closer to that trajectory. But other things came up, and you know, it's all good. But yeah, it is something I would like to do, and because it is one of those very cool supplementary performance things, I think really enhances a show. Like, you have the band playing, of course, the music is the best part, and then you have good lighting, you want good sound, you want all these aspects. But having a dance show with it, I think, really enhances the experience, and it's just really fun. I mean, it's so fun to be dancing on stage with a band. And so I really enjoy that, and I'd really like to get back to doing more of that. I was doing a lot of private gigs for a while, and performing with DJs and stuff like that. And nice. It's kind of a cool subculture that's growing too. So it came out of the festival scene.
I mean, I've done a lot of gigs with different kinds of dancers, but never flaming hula hoops. I mean, like, that would be
fire, that'd be pretty cool. It enhances any kind of show because there's that, you know, there's that element of danger. It's not as dangerous.
Yeah,
as it
looks. I have had like fire jugglers before, and like feeling enough heat that it was like, is this place going to go up tonight? I hope not. Let's see. You know, and you realize like you're playing on like the third floor of an all wooden building with like 500 people, and like this could get really bad. Let's. But
yeah, right. Luckily, right. It could. But if they're trained fire performer, then they should be prepared. And actually, with fire juggling, they use quite a bit of fuel and stuff. But if you've taken the proper precautions, I mean, it's the place isn't going to go up in flames unless there's like fuel spilt places, you know, where it shouldn't be. But if the person's been trained and they know
or just carelessness by performers that probably had no business doing fire performance in a crowded wooden club.
Yeah, you really want to vet your fire performers because it's fire. You want to make sure they have insurance or they do it outside.
You might want to check with your actuary before you book that show.
Yeah. Oh, the one of the coolest fire gigs I did was at this private dinner party. And we get there and I had been talking with these people before. And they I had some very specific requests because, you know, things have to be safe for us and for the people there. And she wanted us to perform in this very small space inside in front of this dinner party. And I was like, OK, you have to be careful about sources of fuel, stuff like that. You know, we don't want anything that could have fuel near us while we're performing. We get there. None of this had been moved. They had, it was a very nice place. They had like these old school cars on the wall and like boats and like a helipad. Like, and they had a giant tank of helicopter fuel, like so freaking dangerously close to where we were performing. And it was like, we told you, like, this is not safe. We ended up doing the gig. We kind of tried to rearrange some stuff, and you know, we had a very small place. We thankfully, me and the other woman performing were good at performing in smaller spaces, and we'd kind of gotten used to that. We knew what we were doing. We were very careful, but it was very not cool when you're trying to go by all the fire safety stuff and you have, you know, maybe a client who maybe won't cooperate. But it ended up being a cool party, and actually the singer of Collective Soul was there and was wasted. It was really funny.
But you did not set him or her on fire.
No one got caught on fire, and we were not wasted because you don't mix fire with anything intoxicating.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Fiends, bringing the house down. Sometimes.
Bringing the rock. Bringing the rock.
Bringing the punk rock to the radio waves. Meow. So, we were talking a bit on the break, and you had an interesting story.
About bringing the house down?
about bringing a house down.
This worked out really bad, unfortunately. It was in Philadelphia on Broad Street during an outdoor festival. And Broad Street is like the main north and south thoroughfare in Philly. Big street. Thousands of people are in the street. And we're doing shows, like, alternating with other bands on multiple stages. and we've got this big band with brass and drums, and we're like directly facing this wall. Right after we stopped playing, as we're like putting our instruments in cases, the top of this wall broke free and made this crack. Wow. And the whole top part of this building fell onto the sidewalk below. And it was like, it really felt like a war zone. There was a huge cloud of dust. I thought it was going to be just carnage, but only one person was killed. And I thought it was going to be much worse than that, just from the way it looked. But I thought, like, gosh, did our sousaphone do that? Dang.
<Wow. laughs>
But I guess that was probably the worst.
A little
the
too
worst.
Hard.
Yeah, we just rocked that just too hard. But I guess that's probably the worst. I think we had a pier collapse, but it was like a few days after our gig, so I don't really think it was our fault that a pier collapsed.
Yeah.
But we had played there like the Saturday prior, and then like I heard later, like, oh, that the whole place just fell into the river. Like, uh-oh.
Just destroying stuff everywhere with your vibes, man.
Is that what it is? Is it? No.
No.
I don't know.
It's an act of God. I don't know. When a pier collapses,
nope.
What is it?
Nope, just poor engineering. No, it's an poor act engineering.
Of construction. Poor construction.
Yeah. The lack of maintenance.
Construction.
Poor planning. Actually, the pier thing, I kind of remember, like, they had put, like, a carpeting over a big crack.
What?
There was, like, a crack as you, like, you, the, like, and they had, like, a carpeting over the crack so people weren't tripping on the crack itself. That was probably an indicator that something was wrong.
Well, I mean, that's the solution that always works. Just cover it up until it breaks. I mean,
yeah, you know, and luckily, yeah, you know, sure. Luckily it didn't break until a week after I was there. But most of my gigs were slightly more successful than those, thankfully.
I only ever played with the band. I think I only ever played three gigs, and one of them, the guitarist showed up missing some equipment. I think it was like an amp, and the drummer showed up missing his guitars or his drumsticks. And so there was this really long delay of, like, because I think I was pretty young, I was still in high school, so like they had to like get someone to bring them this stuff. So there's this long delay.
Ugh.
So I just like played bass for a while, like if you were like bass solo, because I was the only one prepared with my equipment. And so I'm like playing just like random bass stuff, and like after the show, the dude working the door was like, "You should really find another band. Like, I think you're way more prepared."
That is, that is not bringing the rock. Okay, bringing the rock means like you are a rock. The show goes on. You don't like, oh, I forgot my sticks.
First of all, like you need to have multiple sticks. Okay, you don't just have one pair of sticks. Like it's just. You know, just have
if you're,
one.
If you're bringing thing. The rock, yeah, you're
gotta,
ready.
So, I guess the moral of the story for this hour is always bring extra drumsticks so you can
bring the rock.
Bring the rock and bring the house down.
Right on.
We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
a Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Sorry, Nancy Pelosi, you cannot use the Freedom Fiends.
Hands off, you dirty socialist.
Anybody else can use it, but sorry, government people.
Yep. So speaking of government people, it looks like, let's see, Virginia Cop Block founder Nathan Cox is having some problems with a person from the government.
He was contacted by the government, but I believe he's still safe. We're talking about Nathan Cox, the founder of Virginia Cop Block, and many folks in the libertarian communities know Nathan. Nathan is a super, super great guy. I mean, he's the kind of guy that drives around with a megaphone on the passenger seat of his car in case he sees a cop that he needs to yell at. Okay. Like, he's ready. Nice. He will just roll down his window and be like, "Hey, leave that person alone. Hey, get away from him."
Yeah, well, there needs to be more people like that. Like, I love the videos of the people pulling people away from cops that the cops are trying to arrest. Like, I'd love to see more of that. I'd love to see more shaming of bad behavior when it comes to cops.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Nathan's pretty good at that because he's always videotaping. He's getting out there. And he's had several different incidents with the police. He's in the Richmond area. So I guess it's Virginia State Troopers or the Richmond Police or other cops down there. I think it was involving that incident where he was like literally using his loudspeaker to instruct a cop to stop robbing somebody. They ended up like chasing after him and pulling him over and hassling him. And not only did he beat that, he sued them for $10,000 and won. If you go to Virginia Cop Block on these articles, you'll see a picture of him holding the check.
Yeah, he fought the law and he won.
Yeah. So anyway, Nathan is a good sport. He's a super good guy. He's the kind of guy that he's always like helping the geriatric patient back to the nursing home that wandered off, or helping a stray animal back to health, or he's a very kind man, super generous with his time, super nice guy. And this, I'm reading a headline of Virginia Cop Block right now. It says a Virginia State Trooper McKinney sues VA Cop Block founder Nathan Cox for $1.35 million. Okay.
That's insane.
This policewoman really got her feelings hurt over something. Okay. And it had something to do with a traffic stop from 2012. There had been an initial defamation lawsuit in small claims court for $5,000, and then she just like dropped it or something. So
yeah,
somehow she's brought this back, who knows where this, you know, $1 million, okay? Damages for $1 million, and it should be punitive damages of $350,000. So...
How do you even quantify feels into monetary compensation? I don't understand that at all. This is a case of I made me look stupid and you put it on the internet. Because what happened is she's mad because he videotaped her and she made a fool of herself in the video. And he put it out on, he put it out to the world. And it's like, if you embarrass yourself, you know, on a video, that doesn't mean you get to sue the person who took the video. And especially for something as insane as $1.35 million. That's, how do you even come up with that? Like, how do you even, I don't get it.
I don't know. But there's an article, another article where Nathan Cox's lawyer responds. And, you know, he says that this suit is nothing more than a bad faith, baseless attempt by State Trooper McKinney to hide behind her private persona and silence Nathan Cox, to retaliate against him for his First Amendment protected political activity.
Yeah, there's, she's the one putting here on the uniform, you know, wanting to get attention.
And, you know, the funny stuff is, I think a lot of the funny material has come from the dashboard camera, which they acquired, where right from the dashboard camera, she says stuff like, I don't want myself on any type of YouTube or whatever. Do you know how any to get on YouTube? Say you don't want to be on YouTube.
That's the fastest way to get on YouTube, yeah.
Hilarious. Well,
she was asking whether the way she was dressed. Oh, that's terrible. That's awful.
You know, and you know, we're laughing. It is fairly serious for Nathan. He is, you know, it's hard to imagine them winning this, but weird stuff happens. So Nathan does have a legal defense fund, which would probably be a worthy investment. It's going to go to fight this pretty hard. And the publicity alone is worth it here. I can't see him losing. It's really hard to imagine that.
So this was kind of interesting. In this article, he says he was contacted by the Judge Judy show, who wanted the case on their show. And that's kind of interesting. He declined, which was a good idea, because, I mean, this shouldn't be made a spectacle. It's already enough of a spectacle as it is, this cop suing this person for, you know, basically her embarrassing herself on the internet. But she didn't even show up to the first hearing. She was like, oh, I thought the court date was at a different time. So, like, I mean, it's like she's not even taking this seriously.
No. But somebody told her, hey, why don't you sue him for $1.3 million and just see what happens?
Right? Yeah, like, what's the point? Okay, like, I don't know where you'd come up with that number. I mean, like, it can be very embarrassing to have your stuff put out on the internet and have people ridiculing you and things like that. Like, the internet outrage machine can be a very humiliating force. But sure. Yeah, I mean, emotional damages of, you know, over $1 million.
Her feelings were hurt bad.
They were hurt bad, and she did it to herself. I mean,
yeah, I suspect if you're the kind of person that is gonna be so embarrassed by your work performance on captured on YouTube, that you probably shouldn't have that job, right? Like, if you're gonna do something on the job that is so horrific that your feelings are gonna get hurt by like $1 million worth. Okay, do something else, right?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Or just like, don't be a jerk in front of a camera. Like, how hard is that? Like, just, I don't know. Because there are a few. I mean, I've seen a couple, like, literally, like, probably two videos where a cop is actually being chill on camera. The person has videotaping them. They know their rights, and the cop's agreeing with them, saying, yeah, you're within your rights to do this, and I'm just going to ask you some questions and handle this as peacefully, you know, a lot more peacefully than all of the other cop videos out there.
Right. So it's not just like an immediate violence. Sometimes it's immediate violence. You know, but I kind of get annoyed with those videos, too. When I see the videos of the cop who's like, you know, he's just like just hassling somebody verbally, asking them questions and doesn't, you know, everybody like, see, there is a good cop. See, he knows the Constitution and stuff. And I'm like, no, you know, that still that encounter should have never taken place. You should never have to explain yourself to some random person who decides to investigate you. Right. I don't care what their jewelry or costume is. Like, we should not be subjected to just random interrogations by these people.
Yeah, so I mean, what's worse is when people, like, elevate that as, like, an example of a good cop. It's like, see, they're not all bad, you cop haters. It's like, yeah, but no, like, he never should have had to go through that in the first place.
Yeah.
Like even if the cop was polite about asking for his papers, you know, he's still, you know, asking for your papers.
And detaining somebody for maybe half an hour, maybe more. Like, what if you did that to, like, a random person on the street? You'd be like, I'm sorry, you know, give me your paperwork. Wait here. I'm going to check you out just to make sure you're okay. You know, like, would that fly?
Yeah, right.
I don't think so.
I don't care how nice they are. Like, it's unacceptable behavior. It's very antisocial behavior.
Right. The only time somebody would consider that to be appropriate is when they put on one of these government costumes. And now somehow they have a right to just hassle people randomly. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a public official, that's the job that you sign up for voluntarily, and that means that you're going to be in the public eye, and don't do that job if you don't expect to have that obligation put on you. That's what you sign up for. She's the one that wants to be a hero. You know, she puts on the costume because she wants to be the hero. So, you know, that comes with a lot of responsibilities, and sometimes you're going to get filmed, and
and by hero, you mean she gets to bully people on the side of the road and generate revenue for her state masters.
Yes, that's that's exactly what I meant by hero. All right. Yes,
that's what I thought.
All right. The hero.
Heroic. And now she's filing a heroic lawsuit against a man for releasing a video of her being stupid. Okay. The heroism is just... it's stunning.
I look stupid on the internet. No. I don't know how any judge can take this seriously. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't get how people are still thinking this is a thing they can do, because the internet's been around long enough. You should kind of know better when someone pulls out a video camera now. And you kind of, at least I would think that my mind would go directly towards, oh, this is probably going to end up on the internet. Maybe I shouldn't be so bully-like, or I shouldn't be such a jerk. It might wind up on the internet, and then I have the internet attacking me. No one wants to be on the bad side of the YouTube commenters and crap.
Yeah, so. But you know, some of this video is her own video anyway, from the dash cam that she's all... crushed about.
Yeah, so, right. Oh, right, know. Right. Oh, goodness.
Cynthia, or I forget what her name is.
Melanie anyway. McKinney.
Melanie, yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yes. We might embarrass you on the internet, but please don't sue us.
You know why I didn't need to chime in about my musical history?
Yeah, what about your musical history? Didn't you play in a band or something? Was it
something like that?
I didn't need
that
to talk about it because we're listening to it. I played every note that you hear on this show. It's there. Well, you're soaking in it right now.
Nice.
It's warm and
see toast. That is literally bringing the rock to the show.
Yeah, I don't like, need actually I don't need to say anything. We're just sitting here drowning in it. It's that tasty.
I thought you played accordion for some reason. I don't.
No, ukulele with Queen. No, that's our with Queen.
Actually, our board operator plays accordion.
Well, he's from Minnesota. Everyone plays it. Oh. It's taught in school there, and it's like you can't register to vote without bringing an accordion.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
That's the way it should be.
It's the poker capital of the world. Burnsville, yes. Minnesota.
You know, I would say you can still bring the rock on accordion. If you have the right attitude, even on accordion, that's totally fine.
Like, look at Weird Al. I mean, he brings it.
He's bringing something. Yeah. Yeah. He definitely brings something. The rock. He definitely brings the
I
rock.
Like his version of songs better than the pop songs he's
They're
sad
always
like,
better.
I love his version. Always They're better. Always better. Like, Word Crimes, making fun of Blurred Lines, is some of the best writing. Just, it just tickles my English major brain. Like, I love it. So.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's a genius super of genius. Our time. We should put him like, you know, there's like Coltrane, you know,
yes.
Bob Marley, like the greats of our day. Weird Al Yankovic, sure.
Weird Al, yeah, there you go. He's earned it. He's had to listen to so much awful music and turn it into something beautiful and funny.
And he performs well too. I hear his shows are quite entertaining. So
yeah, I've heard that too. I've been wanting to check out one of his shows. He's never come anywhere near here. So if you're listening, Weird Al, probably not. But Weird Al should come down to the South.
Come down to Florida, right?
Come down to Florida. Be Florida man for a day.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Hey, so some of my friends in Philly were up to some fun this weekend. I don't know if you heard about the Smokedown Philadelphia event they recently had. Basically, you know, this is sort of continuing a tradition that started, I think, in 2013 with the Smokedown Prohibition events, where people were gathering in Independence Mall right next to the Liberty Bell. And just everybody firing up in the park, and it went great for quite a few of these, and it kept getting bigger and bigger, and finally they're like, you know, we're gonna have to, you know, deploy Fish and Wildlife Service, and they literally they sent out Fish and Wildlife Service was one of the groups deployed. on these hippies, and they just started arresting people one time, and in fact, there's a poor banjo player actually got brutally assaulted by Fish and Wildlife at one of these things. It was kind of sad.
Oh, I think I saw that. Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that. But I mean, well, this, you know, is kind of historically how
it was banjo
has been done.
Right,
it was a banjo. I like banjos.
No, I, you know,
if they're played well, I mean,
well, that's a big if.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, was it?
But anyway, so this continued, and it went from being this like really sort of in your face, you know, F the law, we're going to smoke it anyway kind of attitude. To where then people started like getting in line to be arrested for their photo op, like, and now it's my turn to be arrested, and then I'm gonna, here's me on Facebook paying my fine, and like, I'm like, it just seemed kind of weak to me, like not what I was looking for, at least.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on legalization and the different tactics?
You know, I have a lot of mixed feelings about it, because it's sort of, you know, there's a short-term interest and a long-term interest. And, I mean, I want anything that's going to, like, keep people out of jail right now. Like, I think that's got to be good. I want people not going to jail immediately. I don't want to see people arrested for any stupid victimless crime. But at the same time, I want to look to the future and make sure we get rid of all prohibition and do it right.
Oh, no, that's right. We'll talk more about this after this little trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. So what about the smoking down in Philadelphia?
So
what's going on with this?
I've had this great tradition about these smoke out events. So went on for a couple of years. One of the organizers was arrested and put on probation, really kind of took the wind out of his sails. Our friend, Nikki Allen Poe, or N.A. Poe, super, super good guy, brings a huge amount of humor to these actions. The guy's hilarious. Yeah. It's all about making fun of prohibition, making fun of the cops, making fun of the whole thing. But, it, you know, there's a serious side to it. And, you know, they will cite victories as like, okay, Philadelphia government is now, it's like a misdemeanor or just like a minor ticket now to get it. If they catch you with weed, you don't go to jail immediately. It's no guaranteed stick time just for smoking a joint like there used to be. It's a minor difference. Not really a concern to me, but other people are excited about that. But this past weekend, they went back. This time wasn't on federal property like they had been doing. It was in Love Park, which is right downtown. It's city-occupied property. And evidently, it was a huge success. Nobody got arrested. I saw pictures of massive clouds of smoke emanating.
Nice.
Almost reminiscent of the MOVE bombing. There was so much smoke. Like,
oh, wow.
It was. Ooh. But this is for a positive event. So, when you see huge clouds of smoke in Philly, you can't assume that it's, you know, that it's good.
I think that's the way to do it. You know,
it's just showing
civil
people
disobedience.
It's just showing people, even if they're not, you know, quite as hardcore as I'd like them to be, they're doing incredible work with these things. And I really just give them a lot of credit for putting a huge amount of attention on this issue. And that's something that its time has come. I mean, let's face it, prohibition's on the ropes, right? It's time to just pile on and make sure we really put it out.
Fight for the non-compromising positions, too. I mean, to me, any legislation is neutered if it doesn't have a caveat that you release the people from prison who are in there for marijuana use.
And let's cool it with all the new taxes for weed, right? There's a ton, like 20 years ago, you might have said, and you could fund the schools by legalizing, okay? That was cutting edge 20 years ago when it wasn't even on the table, right? It's on the table now, right? The time to negotiate is when you have the losing position, not when you have the winning position. So now it's to be, you know, no compromises, fully legal. Oh. You know, and let's do it right. I mean, people say, well, you know, hey, baby steps, you know, gradualism. How many years has it been since alcohol prohibition was repealed?
Yeah.
Hasn't it been like 80 plus years?
Right. And those people resisted too in, you know, very illegal ways, and they basically did what they did regardless of the law. And unfortunately, there was a lot of violence around that, but it was ultimately by people just disobeying the law that it eventually got overturned. And incrementalism, I mean, it ends up taking longer. More lives are lost in the process.
But think about it. I still can't buy beer in Pennsylvania at a drugstore or at a grocery store necessarily. I can't buy beer on, you know, it's like we're still wrapped up into these, into this, you know, we haven't fully legalized alcohol yet. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This incremental stuff, tax it and regulate it. I don't see a path towards freedom by going that route. Once you turn it into a revenue source for the state, good luck getting rid of it then. Like, now's the time to just go for, yeah, you know, legalization without getting a bunch of politicians hooked on it.
Yeah, so I wrote an essay about this called The Anarchist Case Against Cannabis Legalization, and it was specific to Florida because that's where I'm from, because I really don't trust Florida to not screw up the laws regarding cannabis legalization, you know? Like, of all the states who are really going to mess it up, come on, it's going to be Florida, right? So I kind of was analyzing some of the stuff, and yeah, the thing is, what happens if you legalize it and tax it and regulate it, and those taxes go back to support the people who are continuing the drug war, because the drug war is going on. It's a war on all drugs, not just cannabis. So you eliminate cannabis maybe, but is money going to be being pumped back into the police state to continue other aspects of the drug war that are just as destructive? So, you know, is there this unintended consequence? Right. So that's one of the arguments I make in the essay. And, you know, it is disturbing. And there's also the problem of reclassifying it into, for instance, Florida has a serious problem with prescription pills. And there was some talk that cannabis could be reclassified into this similar category as prescription pills, which they've changed the laws so that if you have less on your person, you have higher fines and higher chances of going to jail than in past years. And so it could work similarly for cannabis. Like, you have a smaller amount than, for instance, what's a misdemeanor now could be an even, or what's a felony now could be an even smaller amount if it gets reclassified into a different drug category. And but it does depend on the state. I mean, you know, I think different states are taking different approaches to it. And it'll be really the thing is, it is, I think, people who are on the pro-drug war side are fighting a losing battle. And it is just a matter of time before we see full cannabis legalization. And people are going to look at this time as a period of just, how could people ever think that this should have been, you know, illegal in the first place? That you should have been kidnapping and throwing people in cages.
Yeah, it's going to go in the dustbin of history with chattel slavery as this,
and
like
Pope.
Yes, the Pope. Speaking of our friend N.A. Poe, who's organized these Smokedown events, has one planned for September in Philadelphia, and it's called Smokedown the Pope. And this is going to, he says, this is going to coincide with His Holiness's appearance in Philadelphia in September. He says the Pope has publicly stated that he does not support marijuana legalization. Some great ideas have been thrown around, including the slogan, put that in your Pope and smoke it. So,
but does it make it okay if you have a Pope hat bong with holy water in it? Like, you bless the water, it makes it okay, right?
Yeah,
I think
the Pope should
think more on this.
Well, maybe he's just setting himself up to sell more indulgences, right? Like, weed, it's not that big of a deal. So it's going to be like a $15 indulgence fee. Like, so go ahead, live it up. You know, it's not like, you know, the other indulgences. So maybe that's incrementalism for the Pope.
The Pope, you know, you'd think he'd be more progressive on this. He's this, at least from the little bit I've heard him say and seen him say, he seems to be kind of, I mean, for the Pope, coming around on some kind of progressive ideas, but not quite cannabis. But I mean, Hillary Clinton, too, someone who should be like a bastion of progressivism, she won't even come around on this. Like, this is a no-brainer for,
they
like, Democrats.
Well, they're too close to power.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
when
yeah. But it's like,
when you get that close to,
like,
power,
right? Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, she said there's too much money in it. She goes, yeah, you know, yeah, we could legalize, but there's too much money in it. Meaning her campaign donors are paying her too much money.
So, yeah. Yeah, she's like so right wing. It's not even funny. Like, I can't even believe it. Like, she's not even taking like the least controversial lefty positions, you know, like cannabis legalization is a no brainer.
Right. I don't even think
Bernie Sanders 2016.
Yeah. Did Bernie is Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders probably isn't even for legalization. I'm guessing.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he looks like he smokes cannabis.
And he's from Vermont, for God's sakes, you know. I'm gonna Google feel the burn marijuana and see what comes up.
Wait, feel the burn marijuana.
Let's see. No, I'm very curious what his stance is. I'm guessing that he's close enough to power that he's a drug warrior.
Let's see. Oh, it looks from the headlines that he's kind of ambiguous on it. Like, he supports decriminalization, but he doesn't want to come out and say, like, this is like, I'm sorry, if you're a politician, this is how you get the votes of the kids now. You know, if you want to get people to believe in this, you know, system, this is like a no-brainer topic. You should be like coming out strong on.
Right. No, he's playing it cool, though. Right. He's hinting at support. OK, because the true believers will hear that and go, oh, he's on my side. And the same with like Rand Paul. You hear what you want to hear and just shut out the rest. And then he goes back to the campaign donors, which are the banks and the public sector unions. I mean, gee, do you think Bernie relies on public sector unions support? Like. That's prison guards and county employees and probation officers. Well, I don't know,
man. He says he's against the surveillance state. Maybe he's like, maybe he's going to turn the country around like Ron Paul would have.
He's the Ron Paul of the left. I've heard that he's like the Ron Paul of the left.
I heard that about Kucinich too, but he's also, Bernie is also like, he might not be a friend of the unions. He might just be like, unions are too democratic. We need to eliminate them.
Well, right. I think under pure communism, like there was no longer a need for workers' union because it's already a workers' paradise. You don't need to have the unions anymore.
That's right. You know, too many unions, just like too many deodorants, is too many choices, and it's going to cause starving people. So,
right. Well, just basically turn the whole country into one big public sector union, right? Like, and then everybody can vote on what job everybody else gets to do. How could that go wrong?
Just as long as we're able to you know, burn the cannabis. No. But, yeah, I don't know. Bernie Sanders, like, he doesn't have to be nice about, like, he doesn't, I don't know.
I think he's just this character that's been put out there to give the liberals and the far left something to get kind of involved in. And then they'll yank him away and everybody gets on board with Hillary.
There you go.
He'd be a lot more fun of a president than Hillary.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon. Lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
smoking out the Pope.
Hey, you know that? Have you ever seen the Pope Mobile, that car that he drives around in? That's like a bulletproof dome.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would happen if he was like smoking a blunt under that dome?
Oh, like, it would just be this, like, you could bake that thing out so hardcore.
Isn't that what Obama used to do with his Choom gang? Remember the Choom gang?
Yeah.
Was there like a story about him? Like, they'd like sit in a car and roll the windows up.
Heck yeah.
Maybe Obama will invite the Pope to join the Choom gang, right?
Oh, that would be great. Ah, the Pope's so square. He probably doesn't even let you smoke cigarettes in his Pope Mobile. Lame. I know that hat has some magic underneath it, though.
Oh, yeah.
That hat has to be a bong or something. Why would you wear something like that?
Well, he might keep a bong in that hat. Like, it could be.
Well, it would be the best place to hide a bong, really, if you, you know. Well, first of all, no one would suspect you because you're the Pope, right? But he's like the progressive kind of Pope. You know, he's all right with, you know, like gay people and stuff, supposedly. So, first of all, no one would suspect it, but even if they did, because he's a little, you know, less popish than the last popes. You're not allowed to touch his hat, though. You're not allowed to touch him.
What about TSA? You know what? I want to see what TSA does with his hat. Like, wouldn't that be hilarious? Like,
I don't think they're allowed to touch him. I think he's like, isn't he protected by like a God force field or something?
I don't know. He probably at least has a private jet.
That's why the Pope-mobile exists.
Yeah, no, they'll get him. They'll get him pet right. Yeah, gee, I guess why doesn't he have more faith?
I know, right? It's a shocking lack of faith for a Pope.
Yeah, a bulletproof dome? Really? Come on.
I mean, the other one that got shot survived, right?
Right.
Wasn't there a Pope that got shot?
Because he had faith.
Pope John Paul. Yeah. Right. He made it through. You know.
Yeah. So, and, you know, but I don't, this guy's more commie than all the others before. So, you know, he's really big into his, you know, sitting on his golden throne and pointing at people and telling them that they need to stop being so decadent.
Yeah, right. And it's like solid golden shoes and other things. You guys should do more for the poor.
Yeah,
says,
exactly.
Oh, I don't know, the Pope of the Catholic Church, you know.
Have you ever been to the Vatican?
No, I haven't.
I recommend a visit. It's very interesting. Just to, you can sort of, you know, the scale of decadence is just unmatched in anything I've ever seen. The gold and the artifacts, and basically most of it's been plundered from around the world for the church's history. But it's quite an impressive display of wealth that they have seized or been handed.
Like solid gold bongs or something hidden. Places. I don't know.
I could only imagine what weird solid gold objects that they use.
Well, they have
behind
they
Pope doors. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
No one needs to know that.
Right. No, there's no colloidal gold.
Oh man, the Pope.
Anyway,
maybe he'll come around.
And you know, even my Catholic friends are like, hey, you know, he doesn't, you know, doesn't speak for them, or you know, they're not going to get my Catholic friends don't get bent out of shape when we talk about the Pope. Hopefully, we haven't offended every Catholic listener out there. But,
well, I mean, that's what I've heard from a lot of my Catholic friends, too. I mean, it kind of seems like an old relic of, like, this bygone age where people used to care about this one dude interpreting something some way. But, you know, it's kind of square and unnecessary now.
Not necessarily infallible.
Open source.
Not necessarily
source
infallible. Open source
Pope.
There
Put
you
that
go.
In your Pope and smoke it.
very appropriately distributed.
Crypto Pope.
Adding that to the show notes.
It's great being fiends with you guys again.
Yeah, man.
It has been great. Thank you for your service. Good times.